Palestine prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We love you and we praise you and we worship you. And Lord, if we're here gathered before you, we just ask that you minister to us. Father God, your word is what helps us through life. You help us through life. If you give us direction and wisdom and everything that we ask for it, so we just seek you right now. Lord, just minister through me, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I thought I would just have a small history lesson. Now, it's getting to where more and more people don't really know much about Christianity. They don't know much about God. You know, everybody talks about God, but they don't know much about Him. And they sure don't know much about Jesus, and a lot of them don't want to know much about Jesus. But I just thought I'd do a quick history lesson just to kind of help everybody along that doesn't know what we're talking about. In the beginning, there was God. That's a real big statement if you think about it. I mean, God's been forever. He has always been, always will be. And our human mind, there's no way we can wrap ourselves around that. And I can stand here and say it, and I believe it, but how did we get to it? I don't know. I mean, you see, you think, well, where did God come from? Well, God didn't come from anywhere. He has always been. Well, it doesn't make sense in my little mind, but that is how it is. God has always been. And you know, God's been in the heavens, and He created angels to serve Him. He has angels all around Him, take care of Him, take care of His stuff. And angels have been around forever with God, He's created them. So you're like, okay, I get that. We got God, we have the angels. Now, what about the devil? Where did he come from? Well, you know, a lot of times people, whatever they don't have, they don't want. I mean, that's what they want. What they don't have, they want. Same thing with the devil. He was a very high-ranking angel. And he decided he wanted to be like God. He tried to take over, basically. So, he got kicked out of heaven. And when he got kicked out, he took one-third of the angels with him. Because they followed him instead of wanting to be committed to God. So, now we have devil and the fallen angels, which most people call the fallen angels demons. And they're still around, trust me. The devil's around and the fallen angels are around. So, God created the universe. Right? He created everything. But that was just basically, I was just setting the stage. Well, you've got God. And a lot of people think, you know, God's one side, the devil's on the other. That is kind of true, but God's way bigger than the devil. The devil's nobody in comparison to God. God's the one that's been forever. But God decided to create the universe, including people, and He created Adam and Eve. And I don't know if you've heard the Adam and Eve story, but He created Adam and all the animals and stuff, and He decided that man should not be alone, so He created Eve to be His wife. And they lived in the Garden of Eden. And they didn't have very many rules. They were supposed to just tend the garden. You know, that was their job, tend the garden. And God said, okay, you can eat of any fruit in this garden, except for this one tree right there. Leave that one alone. You don't want to eat from that tree right here. And Adam and Eve are just like the rest of us. When we get told not to do something, that's what we want to do. So, they ate from that tree anyway. Well, it was the tree of... God told them that if they ate from that tree, from that point on, that they would be that they would die. They would no longer live forever, that they would actually die. But they didn't believe it. You know, the devil was like, hey, did God really say that? And a lot of this is obviously paraphrased, but just to make it a little easier. So, after they ate from the tree, all of a sudden they were aware. They were aware that they were naked. You know, they were aware of things around them in a different way. And they hid from God. When God came in the garden, they hid from him. Now, here's where we're at. But God cannot stand evil. God cannot handle evil, period. He cannot tolerate evil. He's a perfect God. And there in Habakkuk, there's actually a verse that says, but you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. So because of what they did, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. And everything changed from that point on. Because all of a sudden, they had a sin nature. All of a sudden, they wanted to do wrong rather than good. And all of us basically are offsprings of Adam and Eve. Yes, they intermarried back in them days. Back then that was okay, but now that's not. They don't do that now. But if you don't think that we have a sin nature, all you gotta do is watch little babies. If they don't get their way, they throw a temper tantrum. This is mine. You know, they who ate the cookie? I don't know. I didn't read it. And they automatically, it's real easy for them to say little kids. Now it's funny when they're little kids, and then as they get older, and as we get older, all of a sudden those little lies aren't good anymore. They're not funny anymore. But we all have that sin nature all of a sudden. So the world basically was cursed because of what Adam and Eve did. So what does God do? He created us, but all of a sudden we're separated from him. And he doesn't like that. He knows that we can't live perfect lives. He knows that we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to do wrong. And he wants us to do right, but we're continuing to do wrong. So what do? Well, God created a way. He came up with a way where someone would pay the price for all the sins that we commit. Everything that we do. If someone would pay the price for that, and that would open up the door for us to get back with God. I mean, it's no different than, in court. If somebody kills somebody, they go to court, and somebody has to pay for the fact for what he did, and typically it would be the person that did the murder, and they get locked up. Well, the same way with us, all the sins we commit, somebody needs to pay for that. So, God came up with a sacrifice that would cover all sin. And that sacrifice was his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth and live here on earth. He came to live on the earth as an example for us. But he came to the earth also to die for us. He knew when he came here that it would end up with him dying for us. And he was falsely accused of doing wrong. He was in his early 30s. He was falsely accused of doing wrong, and he was crucified. He was nailed to a cross, and he died. That act right there is what paid for all the sins of the world. God put all the sins of the world on him. He paid all that. Why would God do that? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to say, this time you and me will be here, and the rest of that, I don't worry about them. It happens pretty regularly in the real world. We don't worry about others all the time, like we should. But God's not like that. But why was he like that? Well, let me read the greatest commandments. It kind of tells us what God really wants from us, why he did this. The first commandment is, it's out of Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. It says, Teacher, which of these the greatest commandment, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.
All right, that makes sense. You know, God created everything. We should love him because of it. But the second verse, it says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, it's all about love. God loves us. He wants us to love him. And that's what makes this whole thing work. But why? Why didn't he just make us love him? It's not really love when you're forced to do it. He wants us to love him out of free will. And the bad part of that is by him allowing us free will and asking us to love him out of our own free will, a lot of people don't. So you get the good and the bad. And the free will thing, how do we really know that this is true? You know, I'm reading this stuff, I'm telling you this stuff. How do I know, where do I get this? Well, I get it out of the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God just by when I look at the history of how the book was put together, how it all came together. I firmly believe that it's the Word of God. Now, I can't make you believe it's the Word of God, but if you study the book and you look at it and you ask questions about it, that's the conclusion you will come to. And let's read the verse out of that Bible again. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He will write back to you. It's out of love that he did this. He sent his Son to this earth to die out of love. And that last verse that I read is so, so important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Yeah, everybody has this idea that God's sitting there with his arms crossed in heaven waiting for you to mess up. Then he's going to, pow, you messed up again. Pow, you messed up again. A lot of people think that. You know, I think it's the total opposite. God loves us so much, he's sitting there cheering us on, going, man, don't mess up. I don't want you to have this problem. I don't want you to have this. I want you to have this because things are going better for you. He's not sitting there trying to condemn us. He wants us to be saved. And that's why he sent Jesus. So the whole point is, and I'll just read this little phrase I wrote down here. It says, there's no way we can earn this gift. There is no way that we will ever deserve this gift. We're always going to mess up, no matter who we are. The whole point is, do we want to? If we really don't care, if we don't give a shit of whether we do the right thing or the wrong thing, well, we probably don't have Jesus in our heart as our Savior then. Because if we do, I don't think you could live like that. And it goes on, I wrote down, it says, God gives this gift to us just because he loves us and wants the very best for us. He gives us the gift of eternal life. That is awesome. I know that if I pull out in front of a truck on the way home and for some reason don't make it home, I'm not going to be with Jesus after that. That's a pretty awesome place to be. Now, if I don't know Jesus as my Savior and that happens, the alternate, which most people don't like talking about nowadays, but the alternate is hell. Eternal separation from God. Well, that would suck. But it would. I don't want to be there. I'll be with Jesus. So, what do you want for your life? Well, that's the bottom line. Where do you want to be when all this is over? All right, when you go to bed tonight, I have a pretty high stress job and I get all stressed out and weirded out sometimes with work and stuff. But at the end of the day, when I lay in bed and I'm getting ready to go to sleep,
I still have an inner peace knowing that no matter what happens, it'll all be good because I got God. I got Jesus. So, a decision that everyone has to make. You know, what do you want for your life? Now, if you want Jesus to be your Savior, to do that, I'm going to read my favorite scripture. All you got to do is, if you listen to that and if you apply that to your life and you ask for that, you will be saved. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's history and even non-biblical history books that will tell you that Jesus truly lived and died. The only thing that's contested is whether he rose again 3 days later. That's a decision you have to make whether you want to believe it or not. I believe it because that's what the Bible says. And it goes on, it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. You just got to believe that. You got to just say, hey, Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I can't live the way you want me to live. But because of what you did for me, I want to commit my life to you. And then that last couple of verses says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. Hey, it's for everybody. It don't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, or if you break down the Gentiles, you've got Africans, you got Japanese people, you got Russian people. It's for everybody. And then verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not just some of us, all of us. So the whole point I want you to get today, I mean, the history lesson was just something in case you has never been explained to you as to what is all, how this book came about. Hopefully it helps a little bit. If you don't know who Jesus is, hopefully it helps. Jesus is the Son of God. He was there with. The Bible says that God is three persons. You have God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and you have God the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit as a helper. And that is another one of those that's really hard to grab a hold of. Now, wait a minute, there's one God but three persons. How does that work? Well, think of it, it's kind of like say you have a company with three persons running this company. The only difference between those three and the God we serve that is three persons, they are 100% the same, always of the same mind and everything. But in that company, those three people, they can't ever make up their mind. They're arguing and carrying on. So that one God, it is one God, because they're 100% in harmony. That's the best way that I really know how to explain it. So I hope that all of you have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, and if you don't, I hope it's something that you will research and want. And if you're ready to do it now, I'm going to say a closing prayer. And I'm going to, the prayer I say, if you follow along with it, I know you will be saved. So let's pray. Our God and Father, we just thank you so much for the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make for us. Lord God, I know we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Every person here is a sinner. And Lord, we know that Jesus, you died for us on the cross. You rose 3 days later. I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I want to turn around, and I want to follow you. And I know because of that, I am saved. Any person that professes it this morning, Lord, I know they will be saved. The Holy Spirit will come into their heart and live in them, and life will be different going forward. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. Thank you for another race day. Well, I hope the track dries out where everybody can have a good time on the track, even though it is a mess. But even that, you can make it work and make it a good thing. Jesus, thank you ever so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.